this is Krista, and welcome to this week's Travel Talk. A big thank you to the Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired for the opportunity to host this show. And thank you to purpleplanetmusic.com for our theme song. We have some fun things to talk about today on Travel Talk, including stellar ways to see Florida's Space Coast, America's happiest beach town, tips for sleeping on planes, which I know can be tough sometimes, and I'm really kind of excited about this one, a travel guide for Area 51. And I know Area 51's been in the news a lot, and I think that's why CNN Travel got involved with this story. But they wrote a travel guide for the person who signed up for the raid but isn't ready to storm the gate. So it should be a lot of fun this week. In fact, why don't we start with the Area 51 story? It was written July 17th by A.J. Willingham, again on CNN Travel. And he says, everyone's talking about Area 51 because of a satirical Facebook page where a million actual people signed up to storm the Nevada site to see them aliens. That's in quotes. It was all a joke. Storming a classified government site en masse is kind of a big lift and also very dangerous and illegal. Right, guys? But whether it's the location's secretive aura, the trendiness of conspiracies and unsolved mysteries, or a secret collective desire to, you know, actually see them aliens, people are still fascinated. We're not saying Area 51 is going to be the next hot tourist destination, but if you were to visit for the non-nefarious reasons, here's what you'd find. What is Area 51? Area 51 is a U.S. Air Force training range in the southern Nevada desert. Yes, it is an active military base used for flight testing. Although it's fairly secretive about what else happens there, which is one of the reasons why people think it has a bunch of aliens, or at least one or two, everything that goes on at the base is considered top secret, but the base itself is not secret. Why does everyone think there are aliens there? Historically, there have been a lot of UFO sightings in the area, which of course have nothing to do with all of the fancy top secret military aircraft they test there. But conspiracy theorists are going to conspiracy, and legends got a big boost in 1989 when a man named Bob Lazar claimed that he worked with an alien spacecraft as part of his job in one of Area 51's underground facilities. There have been a handful of other people claiming they worked with, saw, or heard something supernatural while working at Area 51. Combine that with the tantalizing reality of a top-secret military base in the middle of a craggy, otherworldly desert landscape, and, well, the imagination runs wild. What does the government say about it? If there were real aliens, do you think the government would just straight up tell us? People would lose their minds. You think a weird Facebook meetup meme is bad? Imagine if we knew that there actually were aliens there. Anyway, obviously, the government has been very coy about the whole thing, and it just acknowledged the existence of Area 51 in 2013, not that it was a secret before. The acknowledgement came after citizens filed a Freedom of Information Act request that called for the release of information regarding the government's activities. Washington went ahead and declassified documents revealing the purpose of Area 51, and you guessed it, no aliens. Lots of plain stuff, though. Can you just go there? Funny story, Area 51 doesn't actually have any fences around it. You most definitely can't waltz in like it's your friend's apartment building. When the sign says the use of deadly force has been authorized, it's no joke. But the image of thousands of alien truthers rattling an ominous barbed wire fence is, well, misleading. But just because you can't, and definitely should not, try to enter Area 51, doesn't mean you can't get your fill of UFO goodness nearby. In fact, the whole area is geared towards the truth is out there tourism, and includes several museums and points of interest along what is known as the extraterrestrial highway. Bet you can't guess where that leads. Hint, it rhymes with Schmoswell, Schmoo, Mexico. That's Roswell, New Mexico. If you've jumped the gun and made it to Nevada with the intention of paying a visit to Area 51, why not visit some of these other exciting attractions? The Alien Research Center in Lincoln County, Nevada. HiCo, Nevada, an old mining town that's home to a giant ET mural and something called ET jerky that we don't want to know about. Rachel, Nevada, the UFO capital of the world. The National Atomic Testing Museum, which leads monthly tours of the Nevada National Security Site near Area 51. It's not Area 51 itself, but it's close, and you won't get arrested. It's a win-win. Are people genuinely planning on storming Area 51? Most likely not. It's like the Tide Pod challenge of Facebook conspiracy theories. Harmless as a joke, but possibly deadly if you're reckless enough to try. So don't. Gnaw on some ET jerky and browse UFO message boards instead. Or just look up into the vast twinkling blackness of a Nevada sky. You might see your own UFO. So that was that story. You may hear my dog in the background, Millie, who I guess is very interested in extraterrestrials and UFOs. She kind of looks like a Wookiee. Our next story is from TripAdvisor, and it's America's happiest beach town is a worthy destination for your next getaway. And this was written on July 21st. And they say, Travel and Leisure recently released a ranking of the happiest and healthiest beach towns in America, based on a survey of over 337,000 people across the country on their overall life satisfaction. Below, we're highlighting the top-ranked beach town in the United States in terms of health and well-being, according to this study. Read on to see what makes this sunny beach city so special. And they say, no matter where you're heading, you can plan your whole itinerary on TripAdvisor. Start by finding your ideal flight right on our site. For your accommodations, we check up to 200 booking sites to bring you the lowest price on hotels. Plus, we offer unique lodging like vacation homes, inns, and bed and breakfast. We also have thousands of bookable tours, excursions, attractions, tickets, and more in locations all around the world. TripAdvisor is your one-stop shop for planning and booking the ultimate getaway. And I do not work for TripAdvisor, but just wanted to share that information with you since it's in the article. Without further ado, let's see the happiest beach town in America, according to Travel and Leisure. It is Naples, Florida. Sunny Naples is a popular, sophisticated, and charming beach destination on the Gulf of Mexico. It boasts many world-class hotels and resorts along miles of white sand beaches. The ocean surf is gentle and the people are friendly. Shoppers delight in searching for antiques, home furnishings, clothes, and jewelry. With its beautiful neighborhoods and grand architecture, the atmosphere is elegant yet relaxing. Sports enthusiasts spend glorious days pursuing their favorite activity from golf to tennis to fishing. There are restaurants to suit every taste and budget. Even though it is a busy and cosmopolitan city, Naples offers easy access to secluded islands and the wilderness of the Everglades. Where to stay in Naples? They say the Inn at Pelican Bay. The Inn at Pelican Bay Hotel provides daily scheduled transportation to Vanderbilt Beach. Guests will also enjoy complimentary continental breakfast served lakeside, as well as free Wi-Fi in all rooms and public areas. You can relax in the outdoor heated pool and whirlpool. This Naples hotel also offers on-site bicycle rentals and spacious guest rooms with safes, mini refrigerators, and work desks. Enjoy an ideal location within blocks of Naples Beach, waterside shops, and the Mercato as well, as only minutes away from an award-winning golf courses. In addition, the Inn at Pelican Bay Hotel hosts world-class wedding ceremonies and receptions held lakeside or at Pelican Bay's facilities right across the lake from us. It's the perfect spot for a business trip, romantic getaway, or an unforgettable family vacation. Then they mention DoubleTree Suites by Hilton Naples. Located on the Cucahatchie River and Nature Preserve just 2 miles from the white sandy beaches of the Gulf of Mexico, the award-winning DoubleTree Suites by Hilton Naples offers 101 one-bedroom suites, on-site restaurant, riverside heated pool, 24-hour business center, 24-hour fitness center, complimentary high-speed wireless internet access, and 2,300 square feet of flexible meeting space. What to do in Naples? Manatee sightseeing, ecotourism tour adventure. Manatees, sometimes called sea cows for their slow, peaceful movements, are often spotted in Florida waterways. On this small group tour, you'll get up close to manatees and other animals such as alligators, dolphins, and birds as you cruise around on a covered boat, which caters to all types of weather. Plus, exploring with a guide means your chances of spotting the creatures are dramatically increased. Mangrove Estuary Preserve Kayak Adventure Tour. Even if you've never kayaked before, you can still see manatees, dolphins, seabirds, and more in the wild on this Naples kayaking tour. Follow a guide through the protected estuary and mangrove tunnels at Delnor Wiggins Pass State Park and Barefoot Beach Preserve, learning about plant and animal wildlife from your guide and spotting animals you might miss on your own. Jet Boat Thrill Ride. Take your Naples vacation to the next level on a 60-minute ride aboard Jet Boat Odin. The 20-passenger boat offers a thrilling water experience with 360-degree turns at top speed. It's a great option for families who want to combine sightseeing and adventure. Your experience also includes live onboard commentary about the area's attractions and marine life. So those are the best suggestions for a trip to Naples. So next comes tips for sleeping on an airplane. And this is from smartertravel.com. There's 13 tips and it's written by Ed Hewitt. He says, not enough leg room, people climbing over you, noise and from movies and video games and screaming children, sunlight pouring in your neighbor's window at 35,000 feet. With all the distractions and hassles of air travel, sleeping on planes can sometimes feel impossible. If you struggle to get some shut-eye each time you take to the air, you're not alone, but choosing the right seat, bringing the right gear, and making a few small changes in your flying habits could help you sleep better on your next flight. Read on for our travel-tested tips for sleeping on planes. And they say choose your seat wisely. Your seat location could be one of the most important factors in how well or how poorly you sleep on a plane. Try to get a window seat if possible. It will give you something to lean against and get you out of the way of other folks in your row who won't have to scramble over you each time they need to use the bathroom. You'll also have some control over the window shade. Think twice about bulkhead or exit row seats. Sure, the extra legroom is great, but some exit row seats do not recline so that they won't be an obstruction in case of an emergency. And some bulkhead seats have armrests that can't be raised. Sleeping in one of these is like sleeping in a straitjacket, especially if the seat next to you is unoccupied or worse, the entire row is empty, as happened to me on a flight from Australia, 14 hours in the air, an empty row and the worst flight I've ever had. What could have been a nice sleep nook is now more like, well, an airplane seat. Travel writer Andrea Rotondo also cautions against bulkhead seats because they are often reserved for families traveling with babies or young kids and can be noisy. Another area to avoid is the last row of the plane. Again, the seats may not recline and they're often located right near the lavatories, where both noise and odor could be an issue. Aside from the very last row, there are pros and cons to sitting near the front of the plane versus sitting near the back. Seats near the rear of the plane may be noisier due to the plane's engines and clink-clacking from the galley. But it's also more likely that you'll have a couple of seats or even a whole row to yourself back there, and the extra space could make up for the extra noise. To help you choose your seat, check out Smarter Travel's sister site, SeatGuru.com, which offers color-coded seating charts for nearly every plane on every airline. Next, they say cut down on your carry-ons. If you have two full-size carry-ons, one might end up under your feet, limiting your leg room and making it harder to sleep. Instead, pack lighter so you can fit everything into a single bag. Keep a few small necessities near the top of the bag, a book or magazine, a snack, a bottle of water, before you stow your bag in the overhead compartment. Pull out the important items that you'll need during the flight and put them in the back of the seat in front of you. Editor's note. The Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, cautions against the stowage of personal items in the seat back pocket for safety reasons, but states if small, lightweight items such as eyeglasses or a cell phone can be placed in the seat pocket without exceeding the total designed weight limitation of the seat pocket, or so that the seat pocket does not block anyone from evacuating the row of seats, it may be safe to do so. Keep the items you stow in the seat back pocket to a minimum and be aware that the flight attendants may ask you to put the items back into your carry-on bag. Next is skip the caffeine, especially on a daytime flight where even the view out the window can be a distraction. You'll find it much harder to sleep if you have caffeine coursing through your veins. Avoid the temptation to have a cup of coffee or soda before boarding and stick to water or juice when the drink cart comes around. Next is try a sleep aid. I'm not a doctor and will not attempt to advise you on what drugs you should take as sleep aids. Consider asking your own physician about the following options. Over-the-counter options include Dramamine, bonus, it will help if you have motion sickness, melatonin, which is a hormone that can help with sleep and prevention of jet lag, any antihistamine containing diphenhydramine, such as Benadryl, and medicines designed for insomnia like Unisom or ZzzQuil. Be sure to test drive any pills you've never taken at least a few nights prior to your flight. Medicines can have the opposite effect for some people. If you're truly desperate, ask your doctor for a prescription sleep aid, but be warned, though, that medicines such as Ambien have side effects that include memory loss, hallucinations, sleep driving, sleep eating, and other adverse reactions, something to think about before you pop one at 30,000 feet. Next is stake your claim on blankets and pillows or bring your own. There never seems to be enough blankets and pillows to go around. Board early and stake your claim. If there isn't a set in your seat, immediately ask the flight attendant for one. Better yet, bring your own. Even if you are offered a blanket, it may not be a clean one, as many airlines reuse them without washing them between flights. Yuck. I recommend packing a travel blanket. You'll feel toasty warm and will be able to rest comfortably. If your plane is overheated, rolled up blankets can double as lumbar support, pillows, or even a footrest. Next is bring a neck pillow. Many travelers swear by their supportive neck pillows. Personally, I found few neck pillows that really work the way they're designed. They're too big in the back, which tilts my head forward and then offers no support under my chin to hold up my noggin that has just been pushed forward. I turn them around, and this works like a charm. Are you a stomach, side, or back sleeper? Pick a travel pillow that allows you to most clearly recreate your sleeping style in a limited space. For example, if you're a stomach sleeper that has no shame, you might want to consider the Skyrest travel pillow, which could let you sleep peacefully, perhaps unaware of the mocking laughter from other passengers. Side sleeper, try the unique travel rest pillow, and back sleepers can try the Travelon first class sleeper. Next is free your feet. This is a controversial subject. Some people slip their shoes off as soon as they get on the plane. Others wouldn't dream of it. Further, there's the issue of keeping your circulation flowing. Going barefoot permits your feet to swell. Take care of your dogs and wear clean socks. Opt for shoes you can slip on and off easily. This way, you're not pulling out shoelaces and flinging elbows mid-flight. On overseas flights, consider wearing compression socks to encourage circulation. Next is use headphones with discretion. Save yourself the $5 and catch some more winks by passing on the airline's headphones. TV and movies can keep you up the entire flight. On one transatlantic flight a few years back, I sat awake until 3 a.m. watching Man in the Moon. I laughed out loud and definitely enjoyed myself. But the next day in Europe, I yearned deeply for the 2 hours of sleep I lost to Jim Carrey's depictions of Andy Kaufman and Tony Clifton. On the other hand, listening to soothing music can help tune out distractions and lull you into a peaceful sleep. For best results, try Bose popular noise-canceling headphones. They're pricey, but they're the best product on the market for frequent flyers looking to escape engine noise and other in-flight distractions. Earplugs are a less effective but much cheaper alternative. Next is make sure you won't be disturbed. Jane Bailey Holland, a former airline staffer, recommends notifying your flight attendant that you want to sleep. That way he or she will know not to disturb you when the drink or snack cart comes around. If you're under a blanket, be sure your seatbelt is buckled over top of it so the belt is visible at all times. Dress comfortably. Will your flight be hot or cold? It's impossible to predict, so wear layers. Don't wear anything tight, as that can restrict your circulation, which is already at risk in a tight airplane seat. If you're on a long flight, consider bringing pajamas to change into. You might find it easier to fall asleep in your usual jammies than a business suit. Next is recline your seat, but be courteous. On a night flight, expecting someone not to sleep is like asking them to put down their window shade during a flight over the Grand Canyon or Hakalea. Ideally, everyone has the same idea and seats will tip backward as soon into your flight. However, you should always look behind you to make sure the coast is clear before pushing the button to put your seat back. It gives the person behind you a heads up if they have coffee in front of them or if they have their head down on the tray table. Simple common courtesy applies here. Then stay away from the light. The animated flash of movie screens, reading lights, cabin lights, sunlight, bursting in on an eastbound flight, all can disturb your slumber. Get yourself an eye mask. Some airlines provide them, but it's best to keep one in your traveling kit just to be safe. Then lastly, when it's time to wake up. The worst part of sleeping is waking up. I always say it's even worse on a plane when you're waking up to fluorescent lights, luggage carousels, and sunshine so bright you can practically hear it. If it's a long flight, consider setting a watch or cell phone alarm for 45 minutes before you have to land. That gives you time to go to the restroom, gather your gear, tie your shoes, watch the approach to your destination, drink a cup of coffee, and walk off the plane fully awake. Reaching your destination fully rested, whether you indulge in a short and sweet nap or a full rack and route, always beats lurching around an airport tired and crabby. Grab your 40 winks and then some in a flight, and you'll be a happier traveler. And again, my dog must be listening because she's snoring and went to sleep. And we're not even on an airplane. Now, since we've just celebrated the 50th anniversary of Neil Armstrong walking on the moon, I found an article from National Geographic about the 5 stellar ways to see Florida's space coast. And this was published on July 13th by Terry Ward. And they say most travelers to Florida's Space Coast center their itineraries on the Kennedy Space Center Visitors Complex, especially this month as the U.S. marks the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 mission that landed the first humans on the moon. But this stretch of more than 70 miles of Atlantic coastline east of Orlando offers stellar experiences beyond Cape Canaveral. It's a water world here, says Charlie Mars, a chief NASA engineer for the Apollo moon landing. This is a place of real natural beauty that has been this way forever. Here's more about the history of the moon exploration. And he says the space business itself since the 1950s has had a few ups and downs, but now that we have the commercial launches, it's starting to really take hold again. People just want to see other people being launched into space. Come for a rocket liftoff, then stay on for much more. From strolling a riverside collection of space mission monuments to watching nesting sea turtles on a nighttime beach, the space coast is loaded with moments that make the spirit soar. Moonlight Drive-In, and this must be in Titusville, across the Indian River from the Kennedy Space Center. This circa 1964 burger joint sports the same signage that used to draw in space workers during the Apollo days for a hearty car hop delivered meal. One of the last remaining businesses from that time, the Moonlight Drive-In was named to honor the Apollo missions and is currently open only a few days a week, call before going. Folks come for the retro vibe and comfort food like fried shrimp platters, chili dogs, and hand-dipped shakes. The American Space Museum and Space Walk of Fame. This is the Titusville. Consoles from the shuttle firing room that launched Columbia, training suits used for Apollo and shuttle missions, and an exhibit dedicated to female astronauts are among the donated artifacts at this downtown Titusville museum, founded in 2001. We are and have been for quite a while preserving the space history that occurred right here on the coast, says Mars, who serves as chairman of the board for the museum. We emphasize the workers, too, the guys and gals that were in the trenches, the cafeteria workers, janitors, and others who worked for the space program, not just the people in the control room. Next, Space View Park Monuments. And again, Titusville. It takes about 10 minutes to stroll east from the American Space Museum to this pretty park with views of the Indian River, home to monuments to the Mercury, Gemini, Apollo, and shuttle space programs. Place your palms in the bronze handprints of famous astronauts such as John Young and Alan Bartlett Shepard Jr., among many others. Space View Park is one of the Space Coast's most popular launch viewing sites, since it's right across the river from Cape Canaveral. Then we have Cocoa Beach Pier. After spending time dreaming about the stars, you may find yourself wanting something more down to earth. Unwind at Cocoa Beach Pier's Ricky Tiki Tavern, an open-air tiki bar at the end of the 800-foot-long pier overlooking breakers busy with surfers. Try the Sunshine State Florida Lager on tap, brewed in Cape Canaveral by Florida Beer Company. And then the Canaveral National Seashore. If an uncrowded stretch of oceanfront is paradise to you, pack a beach bag for the day and make for Canaveral National Seashore. Florida's longest underdeveloped East Coast beach, it stretches for some 24 miles north of Titusville. During June and July, sign up for ranger-led turtle watch programs to see loggerheads, green sea turtles, and other species lumbering ashore to lay eggs on beaches completely free of light pollution. When you are that close, not only do you see and hear a rocket launch, but you feel it too. That sounds really awesome. It's one of my bucket list items for life is to witness and be part of a space launch. Hopefully that'll happen in the future. Well, that's all we have this week for Travel Talk. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back again, and we appreciate you tuning in. Thanks so much again to everyone involved in this broadcast, particularly the Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired and purpleplanetmusic.com for our theme. Have a great week.